Welcome to Merrickville.
Great to be back in the chair, Sydney. On the show today, we'll be talking about the Sydney Morning Herald strike. We'll also be doing the Hurt Locker. And I'm joined now by comedian Susie Youssef. Good to have you back, Susie.
Hey, nice to be back in Merrickville.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised because you're one of those people I said, well, probably only half a chance to get her back.
And yeah. They paid me a lot of money.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Well, they've got to pay somebody some money here. So they're starting to treat us like we're a Sydney Morning Herald. Oh, nothing. Back out! We're talking about that and lots more in this hour, including fidget spinners. Is it a sex toy? It looks like one. I'm not sure what it is. It's great to have back in the studios comedian Susie Youssef. Susie, your show is part of the Sydney Comedy Festival, which is just kicking off this weekend. I'm on tomorrow night and Friday night. Just give myself a bit of a plug there.
Yeah, you did well.
Thank you. And you are performing next week, sydneycomedyfest.com.au for your details. Behave Youssef.
Yeah, cheeky little pun.
Oh, there you go. Playing nicely with your name.
Don't mind if I do.
We want to talk about something that's going on in this city to kick off the show today. And it's Sydney's fattest suburbs.
Yeah, not PH fat, like not Sydney's coolest suburbs.
Well, that'd be Banksy, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Hey! We've got something to agree on there.
But actual fattest suburbs, heaviest.
Yeah. Let's go through some of the other suburbs, right? I think we all know wankiest suburb is?
Mossman.
Ooh.
Why, you think not?
Bondi.
Okay, fair. I'll concede on that.
Okay. Sydney's shootiest suburb.
Shootiest like bang bang?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel like I might be making myself a target by saying this.
You are. Auburn. Okay. Auburn / Banksy.
Yep.
But we want to talk about the fattest, as you say, actually in the true sense of being fat, because there has been some figures that have been released just today that show that Homebush Bay and Silverwater have the fattest people in Sydney. 40% of children in the area being classified as obese.
I want to know how they know this. Who's admitting to it? No one actually writes down their actual you don't write your real weight down ever.
I don't. You know what they do? They come out to schools with clamps and they go, put your little tiny boobies in there. Go on.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm talking about it to boys
about
as well.
About the boys, yeah.
Yeah,
because otherwise that's another story, isn't it?
Otherwise they go, why is Rolf Harris doing the fat pinch test?
Oh, no. Maybe they just walk them into it's like a truck weighers thing where as soon as you go into the classroom, the ground drops slightly.
It's a weighbridge, but they don't know it.
But they don't know it.
Travis, just go and stand over that thing over there. The weighbridge? No, just go over and stand there and do some maths. It's not surprising, though, that some of the suburbs that have been named have been in less affluent areas because other suburbs with high obesity rates were Mount Druitt, Canley Vale, Ashcroft, Lakemba, Punchbowl and Liverpool. Now, Canley Vale I could probably explain because there is some delicious food to be eaten in Canley Vale.
Well, there's delicious food in all of these places
exactly.
Is the problem.
Oh, exactly. That's spot on. Like Lakemba, there's wicked food.
Oh, my gosh. Some of the best.
So, you know, maybe that's the reason why those suburbs are overweight. To your point, Susie, about Mossman, that's got the lowest rate of overweight children in Sydney.
Yeah, I was just reading, only 17%.
Mm.
Of course but that makes total sense to me. First of all, Mossman, up your game food-wise.
Mm.
Not really ticking all the ethnic boxes up there, are we?
No, because they're not eating food, they're eating Audis.
No, that's exactly right.
I think I might eat a Volvo.
They're also, it's like air soufflés and things like that. It's just mostly oxygen.
If mummy can't eat, neither can you.
Also, the mums of Mossman are quite tiny.
Yeah. Well, here's another correlation there. You've got Double Bay. These are for the highest exercise rates, right? So the lowest exercise rates actually are in Cabramatta. It's the least active suburb with
80%. Because you don't need to go very far to get an excellent fur. Why are you bothering?
Exactly. The Vietnamese food is everywhere. Where are you
so
running from?
It's so good.
Where would you run from there?
You're running from flavour if you're running at all.
You're a dickhead if you're running from flavour.
Stop running.
Idiots. Canley Vale, again? Why would you run from the flavour?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, but here's the high exercise area, Susie. Double Bay, Dover Heights, Bondi Beach, Cremorne, all have the highest exercise rates. Of course, they're running away from unhappy relationships.
They are, yeah. They're running away from prestige. They're running away from white privilege. I mean, and that'll keep you running for years.
And paparazzi.
And the tax man. One thing I love about this show and one thing I love about Sydney is how quickly everybody judges other suburbs, no matter where you're from. Now, you grew up in Epping, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you judge other suburbs coming from Epping?
I feel like you're not allowed to if you're from Epping.
No, you're
just
not.
Got to button your lip.
You're not, are you? It's like Lane Cove. Shut up.
Yeah, just don't talk. Until you get a shopping centre, don't talk. You can't. You're not allowed.
Susie, for your info, 63.2% of people in Epping do little to no exercise.
Well, I'm glad to keep that statistic alive and well.
How would you stereotype Epping?
There's a lot of bush turkeys, and that's not a euphemism. There's just a lot of bush turkeys in Epping.
Epping, to me, is like, I can't decide if I'm in the bush or if I'm in the city.
Yeah. I can't decide if I'm a suburb or if I'm a retirement village, and I don't mind. They're happy. They're so old. I love them, but they're so old.
People in Sydney bagging out people in Sydney is one of my favourite sports. Let's open up the phones, though. I want to know, why is your suburb fat? What's making your suburb a fat area? Like, so maybe there's something, because like I say, if you're in Lakemba, I can understand that you might be putting on a bit because there's some delicious food.
You're eating some delicious kebabs.
Exactly. So, you know, you're probably at a disadvantage, but maybe there's something going on in your suburb that causes your suburb to be a fat suburb. That's the thing about Cabramatta is it's a lot of Vietnamese food, Cambodian food. That's pretty lightweight, but not the way I eat it.
No.
That's for sure. 133353, why is your suburb fat? What's making you fat in your area? What's making your suburb fat? A report has come out today that says that Sydney suburbs have got disproportionate amounts of obesity. Homebush Bay and Silverwater have got more than 40% of the children classified as obese. And some of the unhealthiest areas, along with Mount Druitt, Canleyvale, Ashcroft, Lakemba, Punchbowl and Liverpool. And surprise, surprise, the highest contingency of Lululemon and Activewear is Double Bay, Dover Heights, Bondi Beach, Cremorne. And other places where mums don't have to work for them. Well, that's...
That
was too far.
It was too far. I mean, I was really on board on the Lululemon side and then you just jogged down that hill, didn't you?
Yeah, but I feel okay with it.
Yeah, you don't look regretful, I have to say.
I don't. I like a good tease. It's good fun. That's what we're doing. I've got Dave and Panani. Hello, mate.
Hello, guys. How are we going?
Hi, Dave.
All right. What's making your suburb of Panani fat?
Well, I don't know about my suburb, but I know about myself. It's the bloody good pubs around the area.
Okay.
Like a nice snitty and a couple of cans on a Friday night.
Yeah, for $10, why would you not? Apart from
that's
health.
It. It's good food. They put it on, you know, steak nights on Wednesdays for $12. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, see, that's it, low-cost food. That's the thing, Susie, I've said some of my mates have noticed this as well. If they move to Balmain, because there's so many pubs in Balmain and Roselle in that area, like a pub on every corner, you drink more, and it's like the Heathrow injection. You go there and you put on a few kilos.
It's true.
Yep.
I'm not looking at anyone in
but
the.
But you were looking directly at me.
No, I was looking directly at you. But I think the thing as well with the cheap steaks is that the more pubs there are, the more they're competing with each other. You get down to a $5 steak in some regions.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's the size of a tennis racket.
Yeah. And you're basically earning money eating it. Yeah. So you have to do it.
We've got Rachel in Penrith. Hi, Rach.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, really good. All right. What's making you fat? Or what? Not necessarily. Well,
take that. Mary.
Do you want to talk about an old relationship? Or... we're talking about your suburb, though, Rachel, is what we're talking about.
Oh. Yeah, yep. Cool.
Oh, sorry, Rachel.
There's like something like 8 identical fast food places within like a 5-minute drive of each other.
Okay.
There is so many in the one suburb.
I love that you said it's a 5-minute drive and not a 10-minute walk. So it's like that's probably part of the problem, right?
And they've all of them but one has a drive-through.
Oh.
So I think that's probably making me fat, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's their fault, mate. Don't worry.
That's a good point. That's a good point that both of you ladies have made there. You've never heard of a walk-through?
You're not allowed to.
No.
Not that I know, but you definitely are not allowed to walk through a drive-through Macca's or anything.
No. But it's also, too, that's... As Admiral Akbar would say, it's a trap. If you've got that many fast food, like when you see fast food like on a highway, somebody on a road trip, and you see one, you just go, no, I can bypass that. And then you see the second one, you go, ooh, maybe some chicken. And you go, oh, no, I can bypass that. And the third one, you go, no, it's flame grilled.
Yeah.
This is pull over.
Yeah, flame grilled, you're basically losing weight as well. That's the thing. As soon as you put grilled next to anything, I'm like, oh, that's health food.
That's health food, isn't it? Exactly. I should have an ice cream with that, a Magnum. Okay, let's get to Tim in the Shire. Hello, Tim.
Hey, how you going, Matt?
All right, mate. What's the reason for your suburb getting fat?
Look, mate, it's the cost of bloody sport. It's ridiculous. It's like you've got little minions and you go up to little soccer and all that sort of stuff. The council's gouging you for $6,000 a year even before you buy the uniform.
Right.
That's the excuse for your kids. What about...
What about Tim from the Shire? What's his excuse? Sausage sizzles? Were you about to say the sausage sizzles?
Look, I've got to support these clubs somehow.
Eating sausages for Australia. Love it.
Maybe that's it. Maybe there's a correlation. Maybe we should map it out and have a look and just say, okay, where are all of these suburbs where they're putting on weight? Is there a Bunnings in every single one of these areas?
Just another day in Merrickville.
Hey, mate, did you end up enrolling your young fella in that art school?
No, they wanted me to provide him with the spray cans.
Merrickville, 104.9.
Triple M.
And I'm joined this afternoon by comedian Susie Youssef, who has been pretty much on every single Australian comedy in the last 12 months. Whose Line Is It Anyway? You've been on No Activity on Stan and appeared in Rosehaven on the ABC.
Yeah.
But you've got your solo festival show, Behave Youssef. Clever, again, clever. Factory Theatre, Wednesday, 10th of May through to the 14th of May. Tickets at sydneycomedyfest.com.au.
Yeah, if there's any left, there's heaps left.
Is there stacks? I always say, just go, get in quick.
Yeah, quickly, like in the next week.
Yeah. Get in quickly, but you've got heaps
of
time.
You've got heaps of time. Just book me, please.
Yeah, but urgent. tell us, what's kind of the gist of your show?
It's basically about like the fact that I feel like I'm 33 now. What? You're so beautiful. I know, but I don't really feel like an adult. I've never felt like an adult. And this year my younger sister is getting married and she gave me a plus one to her wedding, but I don't have a partner. So, ouchie.
God. Yeah.
But no, there's nothing better than sitting next to an empty chair at a wedding. I think that's really
And you're Lebanese, so that won't look at all weird.
No, not one bit.
That won't look weird.
Yeah.
Just go, because they'll no doubt they'll say, what's wrong?
What's wrong?
What's
Do you
wrong
have to
with
tell
her?
Us anything? Yeah. I've already got that. The cousins are already like, you can tell us, mate. Tell us whatever it is. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, are you a... lesbian? I'm like, I'm not. Just because I'm single doesn't mean I'm a lesbian.
Well, technically that would be lesbianese.
True. Which is on brand. Isn't it?
Go and see Susie's show at Factory Theatre. Tickets at sydneycomedyfest.com.au.
Merrickville.
Thought it would be bigger. 104.9 Triple M.
Wow, two knob jokes in a row. Well done, Triple M. How do you feel, Susie Youssef? Welcome to Triple M.
Oh, I just wish I had a third.
Don't worry, it's coming.
Oh, there he is. You're perfect. You're perfect and you love it.
Sometimes I'm so clever it hurts me.
I know, I can tell.
Okay, we're asking you, because this was a bit of a weird one. We're having a conversation off the back of the news. And we just said, has a car ever driven into your house thinking you get no calls? But here's the thing, Susie, this is Triple M.
It's like the switchboard has lit up. Yeah. I cannot tell you how many calls have just come through.
And we found out that this was actually one of your nightmares
this is
as
my,
a,
this
as
is
a
my
kid.
Childhood nightmare, my actual childhood nightmare. Everyone's looking at me like, are you going to cry? I might.
Yeah, because it's you had like a...
I used to be terrified that this would happen all
that
the
time. That a
car
would drive into your house.
Yeah.
And would only run over you and
well,
other
I was
members.
In the front bedroom. I was like, I was the closest to the road.
Does that mean that your family valued you the least?
Yeah, I think they might have.
They just went, let's put Susie, human shield.
How do you know my nickname? Jeez.
All right, let's get to your calls. We've got Genevieve in Werrington Downs. Hello, Genevieve.
Hi, not too bad. How are you?
Very good. Great to have you on the show. You've had a car drive into your house.
Yeah, so not the Friday just gone, but the Friday before I had a driver crash into my house. He's caused about between 220 and 250K worth of damage.
Oh!
Yeah.
Did anyone get
hurt? He was actually my neighbour across the road, and he was drunk behind the wheel, blew
0.308. Oh, that's awful.
0.308?
Yes.
The only time 308 is good in that sentence is when that's the type of engine it is, not when that's your legal over
100%,
the limit.
I couldn't agree with you more.
But please tell us no one got hurt.
Yeah, no one got hurt. I was actually in the bathroom at the time and I saw the whole door crack around
me.
Like,
that's
in between
second,
two houses.
That's my second fear, is someone coming into the bathroom. This is the worst.
Somebody coming into a car, somebody breaking into the bathroom whilst you're in the shower in a vehicle.
In a car. That's
your worst.
The bathroom is a convenient spot to be, though, if a car drives to your house.
Yeah, because you can shit yourself.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Oh. Put the tone down there a little. Let's get to Felicity in. Hello, Felicity.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. You've had a car drive into your house.
We've had three come into our front yard in the last sort of 15 to 20 years.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
It's a bad spot.
So is it just that you're on a corner and it's people spin off the road or?
Yeah, at the end of a corner, the top of a hill. So they come flying up round the corner, misjudge it, and straight through the fence and into the yard. We're fortunate that we've got two trees in our yard that actually stop it from coming into the house. The last one was about 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So the trees that, I mean, obviously that would have taken a bit of buffering. They would have smashed up the cars a little bit. What are they, like gum trees or something like that, that you've got there, Felicity, that are stopping them?
They're big conifers, and they, yeah, like, they've taken a bit of a beating. And
are they
not
kind of
so
Lord of the Rings style trees that kind of animate and protect the house?
No.
Yeah, we're lucky. That's why we're not taking them down.
You know what you need to do, Felicity? You need to make some homemade signs and just take him down the street a little bit and just go, seriously, bad corner,
oh, yeah.
Slow down.
Or hire someone to like flash those sandwich boards. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm doing a visual thing, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Sandwich boards. Okay.
Yeah.
I've got no idea what she's talking about, Felicity. I'm just trying to be polite.
Got Justin in Sydney. Hello, Justin. You have had a car drive into your house.
No, I had a semi-trailer, a truck with a big trailer run through my house.
Oh, I didn't think this could get any
worse. Yeah, it was back when we were living in the hills. It was on Penny Hills Road. So we had a semi-trailer coming down towards the M2, went over the medium strip, nicked another truck, somehow turned its truck like the opposite way it was traveling, knocked down massive brick wall down, which is like over 10 foot and like double stacked and like pretty thick. Knocked that down, totaled three cars that were in the driveway, pretty much just hanging like near my bedroom window, which was pretty interesting.
Jesus. You know what's terrifying about that, right, is if he's coming down Pennant Hills Road towards the two there,
yeah.
If that had careened any more out of control in that corner, it could have smashed through his house, gone into several leafy areas and then ended up in Epping.
Oh, my God. It's too close.
Oh, my God.
It's too close.
This is...
I thought you were going to say it could have killed a bush turkey, but you meant me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't have taken that much. It's a semi-trailer. It could travel.
I hate this.
Merrickville here on Triple M, joined by comedian Susie Youssef.
Lovely to be back.
You're doing your show, Behave Youssef, for part of the Comedy Festival.
I am.
Sydney Comedy Festival. Go to sydneycomedyfest.com.au. Go and see Susie. She's genuinely a fantastic comedian. I was doing my show the other night for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, Susie, and I'm, of course, working tomorrow night and night after at the Comedy Store. Yeah, just
plug.
A little plug there for little Watsy. Yep. This woman comes up to me. I want your opinion, right, as a female. Met this woman, lovely, very stable. She was with a partner and some friends, and she seemed like a completely regular person. Nothing weird about her at all.
Until?
So she says to me, something about football. And she said to me, I was in Thailand on a holiday and I saw my favourite footballer. I won't name them, but they're a very high-profile footballer. Let's just say that they've won a very, very big award for playing the game, right?
Okay.
And she said, I was in Thailand and this person was at a swim-up bar at a pool bar.
Oh, yeah. Dangerous.
Yeah. And she said she couldn't help but notice that there was a spare stool next to him at the bar and he'd gone to get himself a beer. So she kind of quickly made her way over because she was such a massive fan and then ordered a drink because, bang, now she's at the pool bar.
Yeah, perfect.
And everyone knows once you get to the pool bar, you don't leave the pool bar.
No, not for ages.
You get your spot.
Yeah.
And she said, and I said, that's interesting. And she said, I was having a conversation. And she said, yeah, but then it got really awkward because I really, really needed to go to the toilet. But I thought if I get up and go, there was a guy standing right next to me and he was definitely going to take my spot so he could talk to the
footballer. Oh, no. She didn't. She did?
I think you've got your answer, miss.
Do women do that? She said to me...
She peed in the pool?
On him.
She peed on him in the pool?
Well, she was next to him.
Was he into it?
Didn't know.
This is... I mean...
I said to her,
I see her dilemma, but I just don't think there's any excuse for it.
But I said to her, I said, you love this guy. She goes, I love him. My favourite player of all time.
No, I don't think
then don't weigh on him.
I don't think you weigh on people. That's a difference of opinion.
Well, in Germany, you pay for it. But I didn't think that was something that women did. And she, like I said, this is like a A-grade person. She was lovely. But she said, if I leave, I lose my spot and I'm not going to get it back.
But if you stay, you've pissed on someone you like. I mean, I can't speak for all women as much as I'd love to. No, I can't. And I'm not peeing on anyone I like.
I just think it was really interesting that it was a role reversal thing that nobody knew about at the time too.
Well, what's...
'Cause normally it's...
But I've heard rumours that when you... Yeah. I've heard rumours that when you pee in those in those bar pools that a blue circle, well, who knows what the colour is, a circle appears around you. Is that
halo.
True?
Like a shame halo?
A shalo? I think that does happen though.
No, I think that's
Is that a myth just to stop me peeing in pools?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that is actually the biggest urban myth of all time, that your parents have told you so you won't do it. Having said that, what would you have done? Favorite person? Who's your favorite person in the world?
I mean, you know.
Because I know blokes do this. We just do it.
Would you just pee?
Yeah, blokes do it. When was the last time you saw a bloke get out of a pool?
Yeah, never. Okay, you've opened my eyes.
Favorite person in the world.
Okay, so like Jeffrey Rush, who I think's amazing, who is now like.
That's not what I expected. But
no,
yeah.
Yep.
I totally expected Celine Dion.
I mean, I feel like I would pee on Celine Dion. That's a good story. I've said that out loud to the nation, haven't I? I can't take it back. But I wouldn't pee on Jeffrey Rush, no.
I have just had this entire conversation purely so that we could make a promo and take these pieces out of air. We had Susie Youssef on the show. Oh, totally pee on Jeffrey Rush.
No, I would not on Jeffrey, just on Celine.
Jeffrey's coming on the show tomorrow. We're going to let you know.
It's literally, I know. We'll play that to him. Susie Youssef, your show, Behave Youssef, is on at the Factory Theatre. Go and see Susie. It's been great to have you in.
Thanks so much for having me back.
See you soon. Joined by James Matheson. Good to have you back, Matho.
Hey, mate. How are you?
Yeah, really good. What have you been up to?
What is this show? Like, you just get new co-hosts every hour. Susie's killing it, and then you just boot her and bring me on.
That's right. Well, that's what we do. We just burn people up, chew them out.
You know, if you've been on a speed date and the date's going really well, and then the buzzer goes off and you've got to switch, and then, you know, some mole sitting in front of you. Is that me? You know, you're having a great show with this woman who's incredible, and then you go, see ya. Matho's waiting in the foyer.
Do you feel a bit second best, Matho?
No, if anything, feel... I'm like, you've reduced the quality of the show.
Susie had to go do Hamish and Andy.
Oh, has she? Yeah. Okay. But this is great. My point is...
There's no need to be offensive.
My point is that you've great chemistry. You should go... Someone should bloody co-host this show with me.
I'm too selfish. I won't share that.
Be about you.
Yeah, what we're going to call it? American Somebody Elseville? No way, mate.
On my watch.
I've worked hard enough to try and be my own man for too long already.
Great to be here, though.
It is great to have you here, mate. Very excited, too, because today is Hurt Locker Day. So, okay, Hurt Locker, for anybody who doesn't know, James, I'll explain it to you. What we do is we spin the wheel. And then we find it's an obscure object or circumstance. And then we ask people to call in with how that thing has hurt them. Because we always say, right, this theory has never failed, that no matter how random the object is that we call out for, we always get incidents where people have hurt themselves.
How random have you gone in the past?
Oh, mate, we've done trees.
Oh, well, yeah.
Toilet.
Toilet.
Oh,
what else have we had?
Fruit.
Fruit injuries. Oh. Mate, we had some wicked ones for fruit.
So many.
You're kidding me.
Mate, one of the worst ones was somebody frozen a piece of mandarin and said to a mate, hey, catch this in your mouth, but it was frozen. knocked.
I feel like James is going to enjoy this.
See why we do this? Knocked four of his teeth out. It was his boss. Okay.
The opener explains it a little bit, James. Okay.
Ouch, baby.
Put my elbow on the paver and sliced it straight down to bone. His arm's gone into the toilet, snapped in half, gone around the edge.
See? What's the term, mate? Listen to this.
Welcome to Merrickville's Hurt Locker.
Mate.
Up the S-bend.
Oh, mate. Up the S-bend. And not in a good way. Well, not that there is any good way. All right. So let's spin the wheel and see what we've got on the Hurt Locker today.
Here we go.
Umbrella, that's been close.
Still hasn't come up, Umbrella.
No, we're waiting for that, because I've got a good story for that one. But today it's going to be, it's Paper, Scissors, Rock.
Paper, Scissors, Rock. Yeah, we added this one last week, Mez. So
I didn't see this one. What is this?
It's the game, Paper, Scissors, Rock. But today, injuries caused by paper, scissors, or rock.
Oh, okay.
And we might be able to answer the question of what finally wins, paper, scissors, rock.
Well, for starters, it's called paper, rock, scissors. Matho, where do you stand on that?
It's paper, scissors, rock.
Yeah, oh! Correct.
Clearly.
Correct.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was paper, rock, scissors.
No, you'd probably call it a potato cake, wouldn't you? Rather than a skeleton. You're one of those guys.
Okay.
Yeah, paper, scissors, rock. Totally.
Okay. So paper, scissors, rock. So if you've got a story where either paper, scissors, or rock, and we're looking for the most creative examples, all right? So not like, I got a rock and hit myself in the head with it.
Mm, brilliant.
Actually, I would take that because that's
that's pretty innovative.
that's actually fantastic. But more inventive, the better. Paper, scissors, or rock. Now, I had an incident. I'm just thinking about when I was actually hurt by paper. And this is not a paper cut. But when I was a very small kid, my mum worked at a high school, my local high school. And they used to have like a paper shed where we used to go and recycle old newspapers. And they used to stack them in massive piles like hay bales. And inside was like a rabbit's warren. And when we were kids, my brother and I, we used to go down there and help out. And my mum would let my brother and I, as like I would have been five, and we were allowed to play in this labyrinth of these piles of newspapers in this big shed, right? And there was like little tunnels and you could climb right up. And it was awesome as a kid, great time to play. And I was down the bottom and my brother was playing above me. And he tipped the newspapers, which would have been probably, honestly, about 12 feet high, but I was only five. And it came down and pinned me to the ground like that Simpsons episode. You know,
Principal Skinner.
Yeah. It was like that. I'm not even kidding. And it pinned me against the wall and I was stuck there, but I couldn't talk because the papers were in my mouth. I'm like, and because it was this would have been late 70s, my mum said, I can't find my son at a paper shed. What I should do is get in there and smoke a cigarette as close to this as I possibly can. Where are you? Oh, I'm smoking, but I can't see you in this pile of paper. But I was eventually rescued. They got me out.
Amazing.
But I was injured.
Good story, isn't it?
I got bruised.
Death by Daily Telegraph.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't actually die.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a better story.
Okay, so.
But I see, yeah, this is a good segment so far, I reckon. Yeah. So people call up with stories like that.
133-53, paper, scissors, or rock. You've never hurt yourself with paper, scissors,
look,
or rock?
I've had a paper cut. You don't do 4 years at Officeworks that, you know, doing a bit of bit of serious injury. Rock, not really. I got boozy once at Gordon's Bay at Clovelly there, and I misjudged, you know, I've got to jump over like a little mountain lion. And I misjudged that and, you know, fell on rocks and scissors. I'm circumcised. I mean, that's really probably
Did you all do that yourself? That.
Yeah, yeah. I converted
so
late.
You'd been drinking. You jumped over a rock and went, you know what? Might as well do it now. Spice, I'm not feeling
up.
Anything. 133-53. We're doing the Hurt Locker today. It's paper, scissors, or rock. Give me something for the
pain. Ouch. Life is pain.
Very ouch.
I sneeze, I hit my head back on the tree, knocked myself clean out.
Riding my bike to school, and I got run over by a racehorse.
Welcome to Merrickville's Hurt Locker.
Every week, James, I laugh at the promos for this segment. It's like my favourite thing. It's like Christmas every week.
I wonder
for me.
How many times that guy's told that story. Hey. About riding his bike and getting run over
by a horse. I'm telling you, you only get it here. You only get it at Triple M. This is fantastic. This is why I love radio. We've got, today we're taking your calls, and it's a weird brief. I didn't understand the stuff, but Len, my producer, has explained to me, paper, scissors, rock. So anything to do with those three. Today we're going to find out, the purpose is to find out which truly wins.
And there is a definitive winner in terms of the sheer number of injuries is incurred by one of the three. So
we want the most inventive, most creative, and the most hilarious examples of injuries for Hurt Locker. And let's kick it off with Brad in Granville. Hello, Brad.
How are you, mate?
Very good, mate. What is it for you, paper, scissors, or rock?
It's rock, mate, actually. I was on my way to school with my mate, and, yeah, you know how we used to kick stones along the ground?
Yep.
This stone was actually not a stone. It was actually still embedded in the ground, and I tripped over, and I found out halfway through the day at school that I fractured my arm.
Oh mate.
Oh, so you know, that's
school for the half of the day, and I thought, oh, my arm's a bit sore, and ended up going to the doctor's x-ray, fracture.
The old embedded pedal trick, you know?
See, the funny thing is there, Brad, is that you would expect a foot injury, but then you've trumped us and gone, no, broken arm.
Yeah, I kind of tried to make it look like I was cool and not fall over, but I put out my arm and that was it. It was gone.
Yeah. Well, no, the pain. That's a good one. I'll take that. Thank you, Brad. That's one for rock. We've got Glenn in Cranbrook. Hello, Glenn.
Hey, fellas, how you going?
Very good, mate. Hurt Locker, paper, scissors, or rock for you?
Scissors.
Oh, yeah. Hit us, mate.
I was about 13 years of age, and my little cousin had the scissors in his hand, adult scissors, of course, and he was snapping them open and closed, And my mum yelled, grab those scissors off him. So as I reached out to grab them off, he actually cut the webbing in between my pointer finger and my big finger. Hey, guys, in between your webbing, did you know it's hollow? There's no bloody there or nothing. It's just white meat. It's awesome.
I wish so bad you could see Matho's face. He's gone pale. He's gone pale. He's squirming in his chair because he's not used to Hurt Locker.
So there was no blood. There was just white, just like an air gap.
It's like an air gap. That's right. Yeah, it's nothing inside there.
Amazing.
You just see him recoiling.
No, because I'm all right with blood. I'm all right with scars, but air gaps. You, they've got, it's not right. It's not right.
I told you.
How do you fix something like that? You know,
I've got my air gap.
You can't put a Band-Aid over air.
Oh,
Sellies.
All right, let's get to Andy on the Central Coast. Hello, Andy.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Yeah, really good. Paper, scissors, or rock? What's your pain?
Scissors.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, I think I was six and my sister was five, and we just got the Macca's books back in the 90s. You could get the big Macca's books with all the activities and stuff in them.
Yep.
We were at home, and I was cutting some, I don't know, I was cutting something out of the book, and my sister wanted the scissors, so she came up and grabbed them. And I snatched them back, and then she stabbed me in the eye with them.
Okay.
Is it still there?
Yeah, it's all good now. Yeah, like, it was like, it didn't go in the pupil or anything. We just had to go to the hospital and get an eye patch, and that was it.
I mean, there's a positive.
It's not like it got him in his ear pocket. Love the escalation there too. That's the favourite part of that story is the escalation. Oh, you know, I thought it was going to build up. There might be, I went to grab it and then I accidentally caught the blade and I sliced my hand open. No, and then she turned around and she stabbed me in the eye with a pair of scissors.
We've got time for one more.
To be honest, I've got time all year for this, but we'll try to wrap it up with Steve in Campbelltown. Hello, Steve.
Afternoon. How are you guys?
Very good, mate. All right. For the Hurt Locker today, we're doing paper, scissors, or rock. Which one of those has hurt you?
I actually got hurt playing the game.
Oh,
playing scissors, paper, rock.
Yes, I got hurt playing the game. I almost thought I had a second one just then when the guy was telling the story about the webbing because I almost choked on my gum and started gagging. So, but that's for another day. What happened was I was playing with a friend. I got pushed from behind. And as my friend's gone to throwing out rock, because I've been pushed, I've actually been clocked in the eye.
So you were playing paper, rock, scissors, one friend pushed you and your friend punched you in the eye with rock hand.
Yes.
Okay. Bruised?
I had a nice shiner for a few days, yeah.
See, yeah, because if you combine that with Andy's story, you could have been, you know, if he just decided instead of going for rock, he's gone, no, I think he's going to go paper, so I'll go scissors. Bang. He would have scissored him in the eye.
In the eye. Yeah,
and then would have had two stories for the price of one.
Oh, mate, you were so close to getting an eye patch. I mean, so close.
Triple M, creating the best day ever. A day out at the Warwick. Just tell the wife you're off to the shops.
James Matheson's with me this afternoon. And, Matho, basically what we're doing is we're taking over a pub for the day and we're renaming it The Shops so that people can say to their missus, just ducking down to the shops. And it's completely legitimate.
Oh,
you are.
All right. Yeah, that's
you're just
like
sneaking down to the shops for a few
what
hours.
What my dad did 20 years ago.
Oh. Yeah,
never came back. Oh, that's not true. That's not true.
Don't
dad,
you,
if you're
don't
listening.
Don't you bring your hurtful family memories into our promotion.
We've just done the Hurt Locker.
No, it's different.
Physical pain's all
yes.
right.
Yes. This is Triple M. This is Triple M.
Feelings is on there.
We put feelings. We bury them down. We bury our feelings. We put them down there. And then we take them to the shops. We'll be heading to the Warwick, which, of course, is on Hume Highway, Warwick Farm, next Friday, 12th of May. It'll kick off with the Grill Team broadcasting from 6 a.m. Give us a call now if you would like to be a part of it.
Well, if you want to win your chance to get a number in the badge draw.
That's right. The badge draw will be made on the day at about 8 a.m. Everyone is welcome, so you can bring your mates. The shops is an 18-plus event, though, of course, because it's licensed. The shops are licensed. Brett Finch is confirmed, and we'll be revealing more exciting stuff in coming days. Who would have thought he was available?
When did we get that compromise? Is that Shut just up.
You get back to your family hurt, pun, all right?
How long we got?
You talk about what it's like to be a lonely teenager. We're going to be doing a $5,000 badge draw on the day, and you can get your badge number now to claim the badge draw. All you've got to do is be listening at 8 a.m. to win on the day. You can be there, but if you're not, you'll have to be listening, and you could be in the running. And we've got... who have we got there?
We've got Anthony from Tamworth on the line.
How you going?
Hello, champ.
How you going? I've got a near miss with a rock.
I can't tell you how much I love you for saying that, Anthony. You bloody legend. Are you interested in coming to the shops as well?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Brett Finch has just been confirmed.
Anthony, I'll give you your badge number, mate, for the badge draw. Yeah. A chance to win $5,000. Your badge number is 2275.
Okay, yeah.
Near miss with a rock?
Yeah, we were rock fishing and forget up near Ballina, and I bought new volleys because they're really good for on the rocks.
Yeah,
so
they are.
Oh, yeah, cool.
The tread's good.
And, so anyway, my mate hooks a jewfish.
Yeah.
And I had gas. Anyway, I had to go down this really steep rock, and it was wet, and it was just getting on dark, and I couldn't tell. So I fell down this rock about a metre, and I didn't get hurt at all. And I looked up, and there's my mate, and he was shaking, just standing still, just shaking. And what happened was the gaff had swung around in front of his waist, pulled across in his shorts at groin height, nicked everything, but nicked his shorts right next to it and didn't scratch him at all. So okay. I was hooked in his shorts.
So, Anthony, I just have to stop you there. A gaff is a rod
hook.
With a hook, a dirty big hook, which you use when you're rock fishing. You do it to hook the fish in the gills and pull its head up, yeah?
That's spot on it, and it just swung across his waist as I fell, and it went through his shorts, but didn't break the skin, and it was right at the right height.
Oh, nearly got him right on the end of the mulloway there, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So I saw the funny side quicker than he did, but he came round.
Yeah, nearly took off the end of his swordfish. Hey?
Got any more?
Oh, yeah, that's not the gummy shark he was looking for.
Oh. Yeah, I would have stopped at swordfish.
Would you?
Yeah.
I got more. Very sad news that about 120 people or more might lose their jobs at Fairfax Media, which, of course, is the Sydney Morning Herald, and a lot of their staff have gone on strike. And one of those people who is on strike joins us online now. It's the science editor, Marcus Strom. Hello, mate. How are you?
G'day, how are you? I've had better days, obviously.
Absolutely, I bet you have. You guys are saying that you're going to go on strike for a week. Do you think that this is actually going to have an effect, or is this a part of a greater tactic to try and, you know, get some reasonable terms from Fairfax?
Well, we've taken the extraordinary step to take a week strike action because we want the board of Fairfax and our managers and also our readers to realise the size of the cuts that they are threatening us with. An existential threat to the sort of journalism that we do, which is bad for everyone. It's bad for democracy if we are weakened in terms of the journalism we can do.
And, mate, I think everyone knows how important a healthy and strong media is, especially reporting on news. We also know that a lot of newspapers are in a bit of trouble. What do you think the future is looking like for, you know, your newspaper and the media in this country?
Well, we accept that there's trouble throughout the industry, but we want a situation where that seriousness is taken to the tops of these companies. Our board collectively earns more than $4.5 million a year. They're not feeling the pain that's going through the industry. Three of our directors are getting share options next year of $30.5 million that they'll be able to cash their chips in. And that's exactly the size of the cuts that they're talking about taking out of the newsroom today. So, yes, we know there is a problem, but we don't think that our managers and our bosses are taking that problem seriously.
Yeah,
and we want them to sit down with us and talk about how we can fix the problem together.
Well, you don't make the weak strong by making the strong weak. And I think, you know, if you look at journalism in that light, then by robbing the very thing that makes you money, by losing journalists' talents and their, not only their skills and their profound knowledge, then you've got no chance of rebounding. You've got no chance of trying to stay in the fight and in the competition.
Yeah, well, they keep telling us they're trying to cut to a sustainable model, but they've been telling us that to us for years. they're making money in other parts of the business, in Domain. I'm sure a lot of your listeners use the Domain apps.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They go to our events. They go to the city to surf.
Yep. Yeah, the half marathon.
And the half marathon. You know, money's made there. But people like those events, not just in and of themselves, but because they're associated with a great company with a great pedigree, which is Fairfax. And the money they make there needs to be reinvested into the core and the heart of what we do, which is our journalism.
Well, listen, mate, there's a great solidarity that you've got from all media and, you know, obviously from people like myself as well, Marcus, who have absolutely no credentials. I did year 11 twice. Oh. But we still feel your pain, and I don't like hearing about any Australians losing their jobs, and I particularly, you know, don't like the fact that when there's people at the very, very top of the tree are earning more money, getting greater cuts and greater benefits at the expense of people who are just trying to feed their families. Marcus, as I said, all of solidarity throughout our industry with you as well.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Good on you, mate. Cheers. Joined this afternoon by James Matheson, who was once running for member for Warringah. Yeah,
that's right, mate.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I've got my own constituency. Yeah.
Is that right?
Mayor of Merrickville.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a great council. And every now and again, we have to have council meetings. And at these council meetings, sometimes we have cameos from celebrities and stuff. Oh, not celebrities. People who are available.
Yeah, has been.
Yeah.
Never was.
No. Just, you know, just people who just happen to be around. And that's exactly what we've got today for Merrickville Council. James Matheson, good to see you, brother.
Great to be here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a type of wig.
Oh, mate, I think it's a texter.
Spray on hair, maybe? Oh, shush, here it comes.
Hey, guys, were you talking about my moustache?
We know it's fake.
Really? How?
Well, you didn't have one yesterday, and today you look like Merv Hughes.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, try new things. Hey, on to council business. Today marks 100 days of office, and I've asked for an independent auditor to evaluate our work so far. So, gentlemen, this is a former candidate for Warringah, James Matheson.
Hello, guys. Great to be working with you.
Hang on a minute. Are you the judge from Popstars?
Jesus, I should have seen this coming.
Hey, don't be rude. He's the host of The Voice.
Really?
No, come on, guys. You're wrong. He was the co-host on Australia's...
Idol.
Got Talent.
Asswipe. Why do I feel like I've just walked into an ambush?
No ambush here, fellas. James was also a vajayjay on MTV.
I was a VJ on Channel V.
That's right. Osher Ginsberg worked there, didn't he? Do you know him? He's great.
This is bullshit.
Oh, no, wait. I saw you on Celebrity Apprentice.
There we go. Finally.
Sorry. Actually, I'm thinking of Guy Sebastian.
Guy wasn't on Celebrity Apprentice. I was on Celebrity Apprentice.
You know what? I reckon Guy Sebastian is excellent.
He is good, isn't he? I really like Guy.
Yeah. Look, are we going to waste all day making jokes about TV shows I've been on? Are we going to talk?
Sorry, we've run out of time, John.
It's James.
Oh, is it?
Thank you for visiting Merrickville. And be a Merrickvillian. Merrickvillite.
Merrickvilleman?
Join us on Facebook or Twitter at Merrickville FM 104.9 Triple M.